Have you ever misplaced your reading glasses or your sunglasses, searching frantically for them around the house and in the car, only to realize they're on your head? Or maybe you've lost your car keys. You turn your home upside down, searching in every bag and under every piece of furniture, when finally you just drop your hands in disgust and hit your palm against your keys that were in your pocket the whole time. I once spent 10 minutes trying to find my cell phone while it was in my hand. We can and usually need to laugh about being scatterbrained. In addition to our thoughts being scattered, we often find ourselves scattered. We all have multiple parts of our lives, of ourselves. There's work and home and school. There are activities we're involved in. Many of us care for others, and we all try to take care of ourselves. We face health concerns, our own or those of our loved ones. We deal with mental health issues. There are countless demands on our time. All of these things feel like they're pulling in opposite directions. We feel torn and tangled, tossed around and frazzled. The people hearing Isaiah's words for the first time feel scattered too. There are exiles returning from Babylon and beyond to find a mix of cultures and religions, a disaster of an economy, and a lack of order. There are strangers living in their homes. Then there are the Jews who were left behind during the exile. They have scavenged a living for decades, watching other people come and rule their land. And there are powerless foreigners who have landed in this politically unstable area and are uncertain of their own future as the exiles return. They all feel scattered and frazzled too. God offers words of hope. I will gather you in. I will gather all people. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. I love the image of God gathering everyone. There's room for everyone. In this vision of God gathering all the people, we find a safe place, a place where all will be joyful in God's house of prayer. It will be a house of prayer for all peoples. So I wonder what that might look like. When we gather in this place and someone says, "Let us pray," many of us bow our heads and close our eyes. We might have been taught to pray in this way since we were kids. Now we know it's not the only way to pray. Prayer might be words or silence. It might be tears or laughter. It might be a posture of listening and openness or of anger and hurt. I remember a student explaining to me how they felt closest to God in nature, how the woods became a place of prayer for them. Prayer doesn't look the same for all people. In fact, prayer may look and sound and feel different for everyone. And I think God welcomes that, welcomes our varied expressions, indeed has created us to express and experience differently. God's gathering isn't restrictive, trying to contain everyone or conform everyone. Gathering in, God's gathering of us, is bringing us to a safe space to be, to pray, to feel centered and be whole. Before leaving the hospital, many new parents learn how to swaddle their babies. They learn how to wrap up their infant gently and yet tightly in a blanket. The idea is that it helps soothe the baby, helping the child feel calm and sleepy. One particular set of parents paid close attention and learned the art of swaddling their baby. They wrapped him up tightly, perfectly cocooned in his little blanket, like a little baby burrito. Then, before they knew what happened, somehow he slid his little arm out of the blanket. So they tried again, thinking maybe they didn't have the technique just right. They got him all wrapped up tightly. They felt really proud of their work. When once again, his tiny arm slipped out, almost waving at them. We like to keep things neat and tidy, wrapped up in categories and compartments. It makes us feel safe, soothed, calm. We think of God gathering people in and God's house of prayer and how that must look a lot like us in our gatherings. We think we figured things out, and then, just like that baby's arm waving around, we're reminded that there are other possibilities. God is wildly, endlessly creative, not wrapped up or bound by our categories. So God's gathering of all people is creative and expansive and inclusive. There are countless ways to be faithful to God's call. There are other expressions of faith. God gathers all, reminding us there is room, there is space for everyone. God gathers us in, gathers all. We can think about this as a beautiful picture of a future we will know someday. And it might be helpful to think about this as a picture of how God calls us to live here and now. Our psalmist has a vision for God's gathering of all. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make God's face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. It is an expansive vision. It is a blessing. And blessings are powerful. In her book, All Our Griefs to Bear, Responding with Resilience to Collective Trauma, Joni Sankin explains several things that blessings do. Blessings bear witness. Bearing witness is an important aspect of attending to trauma in our world. Turning away from situations of pain can be instinctual. We may deny or dissociate from our own painful wounds and the wounds of others. Blessing is a way of choosing truth, solidarity, and accompaniment. Blessing restores relationships. Blessing serves a purpose and is not transactional. Blessing can also be release, a way of letting things go and moving forward. The psalmist's blessing seems to nod to the words we read from Isaiah. May God be gracious to us and bless us, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power among all nations. So what is God's way? Our Isaiah text describes it as maintaining justice and doing what is right. For soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Maintaining justice and doing what is right. These are the ways of God. These are part of God's salvation and deliverance. When it comes to the idea of salvation, the focus has often been on what we might be saved from. It might be helpful to think of what we are saved for or saved to. God calls us to justice, peace, and flourishing. Maintaining justice and doing what is right lead us to God's idea of salvation and life for the world. God's salvation and deliverance look like gathering all in, making whole and complete, healing the broken, scattered parts of our souls and our world, putting us back together. Blessing is powerful. It is a way of gathering in. It is saying, I see all your scattered parts, and I name them. I name the hope in the situation, helping you see a way forward, helping you gather it all in or gather it all up, and maybe even letting some of it go. Here at church, we share blessings on big and important days, like blessing our students when they graduate. We remind them of who they are and how they have come to this important milestone in their lives. We remind them that they are not alone as they move on to a new chapter. We shared blessings last week for Promotion Sunday, celebrating the start of a new school year. We offered our support and encouragement, acknowledging that our children, youth, college students, and all who care for them are facing a time of transition in their lives. We gathered in this place yesterday, as we have many times, for a funeral, holding space for sweet memories and deep grief. And we know it's not just big and important days that bring us to this place. Many days feel ordinary and routine. And we share blessings every time we gather. We might think of the spoken and sung benedictions, words that carry us back out into day-to-day life, scattering from this place and yet held together until we return. Blessing holds space, gathers in all the scattered parts, and points toward wholeness. The church is at its best when it does this, when it is a blessing, seeing, welcoming, loving all our scattered parts, and reminding us of the love of God that holds all together. Kintsugi is the Japanese art of putting broken pottery pieces back together with gold. It began in the 15th century, as the story goes, when a military ruler sent one of his tea bowls to China to be repaired. When it was returned, he was disappointed with the finished result and asked a local craftsman to find another method of repairing it. The solution the craftsman came up with was to emphasize the cracks in the bowl rather than trying to conceal them, to repair them with gold. The idea is that by embracing flaws and brokenness, you can create an even stronger, more beautiful piece of art. This is what blessing does. It doesn't make our pain, struggle, and brokenness go away. It doesn't dismiss or diminish what we've experienced. It gathers up all the broken pieces and holds them together. Blessing is most powerful when it is embodied. All of our college freshmen attend orientation at Camp War Eagle in the summer. They meet lots of people and are bombarded with tons of information. One thing they do is attend an organization fair. Tables line the walls of the Haley Center, featuring groups and offices like ROTC, Study Abroad, Campus Ministries, Tiger Dining, the Office of Inclusion and Diversity, and so much more. They receive flyers and free stuff, usually a lot more than they can carry. During one session, the incoming freshmen had almost finished their time browsing the tables and were beginning to head to their next activity. One young man, arms full of all the stuff from the tables, had acquired a brand new coffee mug. I don't know if he stumbled or if the jostling of people around him upset the balance of all that he was carrying. I just know we all heard a loud crash and looked up to see his brand new coffee mug shattered across the floor. The young man froze, horrified, embarrassed, and disappointed, and not sure what to do. But in a split second, people from several tables rushed over. No one asked him what happened, as if he had done something wrong. No one laughed or criticized him for dropping his mug. We just started picking up the pieces that were scattered across the floor. Now, the broken pieces of that mug could not be put back together, not even with gold. But the brokenness of that young man's life in that moment could. What I hope he'll remember is that he was surrounded by people who wanted to help him. I hope he saw and experienced blessing that day as strangers rushed in to help gather up what was scattered. Now, I know it's easy to pick up the pieces of a broken mug. It's harder to pick up the pieces of our broken lives. We can embody blessing by being there, steadily, gently holding space for each other, making room for all the broken parts, not casting blame or criticizing or judging, not offering platitudes or trite answers, blessing each other with our presence and care, gathering up the brokenness by bearing witness to it. Kate Bowler has written a whole book of blessings titled The Lives We Actually Have. She has a gift for naming the ordinary and sometimes messy parts of life and gathering it all up in a way that reminds us how to embody blessing. One of the entries in her book is called A Blessing for When You Realize Everyone is Struggling. It goes like this. Blessed are you who have realized that life is hard, and it's hard for everyone. Your awareness came at a cost. You lost something you can't get back. You were diagnosed with chronic pain or a degenerative disease. Your family fell apart, and things have never been the same. Blessed are you who gave up the myth that the good life is one of happiness, success, perfection. The life that looks beautiful on Facebook, but isn't real. You who realize it is okay to not be okay, to not have a shiny life, because no one does. Blessed are you who see things clearly, where struggle is everyone's normal. You walk among the fellowship of the afflicted, a club no one wants to join. And while this life isn't shiny, it does come with superpowers. Superpowers of ever-widening empathy and existential courage that get you back up after another fall, and a deepened awe at the beauty and love that can be found amid life's rubble. Like flowers that grow from the cracks in the sidewalk, these virtues blossom in you, and thank God for you. Blessed are all of us who struggle, for we are in good company and will never walk alone. Amen.